Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Monday Night Rugby and Off the Ball. Gavin Cumsky of the Irish Times. Good evening, Gavin.
How are you doing?
It started the season. It feels like you were never away.
Rugby season hasn't ended.
It hasn't really.
No, it didn't really end. Ended for 2 weeks in the middle of July and that was it. And then it got going again.
It's all a bit mad, World Cup. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I thought it was funny when the Irish rugby team were still on tour the last week of that in June. The Leinster players were back. They do a staggered pre-season. Mm. And I was like, and you're thinking, okay, it makes sense physiologically and physically, and then they'd give them another 2 week blocks and it works for them and all that. But you're looking at a guy like Jack Conan who's like, I'm dying to get home now because there's going to be a guy stealing my position after he's just ripped it up for Ireland for the three weeks on tour. It really is the never-ending story.
So it's week one of the Guinness Pro 14, as it's now called, and we're going to be all bowled over by these South African teams, was generally the selling point of this thing. Was it a raging success this opening weekend?
It was a real kind of a soft opening. If you kind of look at it, what with the football, the electric picnic, the hurling final, it didn't land a blow, to be honest, you know. They did cobble together all these fixtures real quickly, so they weren't thinking about kind of hitting it in round one. South African teams conceded, I think it was 90 points between them. They were both stuffed. That's not that much of a surprise with the Kings. With the Cheetahs could be a really good team if they weren't also playing Curry Cup at the moment. South African media are just calling it farcical because they supposedly sent their better team up north not to be hammered in the first weekend, and they came up against a load of Springboks playing for Ulster, you know.
All
the South Africans are realising where all their players have gone now, you know.
So how does it fit with the Curry Cup continues?
Curry Cup's going on.
And they've had to put another team into the Curry Cup.
So the Cheetahs have gone and got themselves a 55-man squad, pulling people from sevens, pulling people, lone guys, lads who are semi-pro. Like, this is a good idea in theory, South African rugby coming up here, but it's going to be a lot of farcical moments. It's going to be a lot of hammerings in the next couple of months.
Wow.
This season it's not going to work out. Don't expect much from them. The Cheetahs as an entity, as a franchise, as a club, as a rugby region are good, like, and they will get it together, I'd imagine, but not if they're playing Curry Cup. Now, when the sevens comes back in, how many players do we see? Like, they've got some flying wingers on both teams. How many of them go back into the sevens system? There's a lot of stuff
there's
here.
There's a bit of settling down to be done here.
We can picture this for the rest of the season and keep having a go at it. Martin Ayani, the CEO of Pro Rugby, just said, look, just give it a chance. And the implication was kind of, we might have to give it a year or two.
That's kind of like...
Public won't give it a year or two.
Well, 2 years seems like a lot, I have to say. Mm. Now, a year, you can probably sort of let them away with a bit and say, look, for the reasons that we're outlining, that you kind of get to... That's fine, right? Like, because we don't know how it's going to work. There's the huge distance factor here and the other factor of all these other little competitions that we've got to try and figure out how that works. Like, you kind of understand that. I think 2 years seems like a long time.
The overnight flights, all that's covered for in the costs on top, not including the $500,000 that all the teams got. So your overnight flight, no jet lag, that does work in theory. What we're waiting to see here now is if the other South African franchises come following them up and South African rugby comes up.
Because
financially it makes sense for them
at the minute, doesn't it? Like,
and they've just run out of ideas, getting stuffed by every time they go down to New Zealand on tour, and it's the big jet lag trips and all that, and it's just not working. This is their option. This is their way of going another way. So that's why that would be a seismic change for rugby.
Like getting out of the rugby championship and coming into the Six Nations.
I'm talking about all their other Super Rugby teams.
Yeah. So and then they remain in the rugby championship. Would it not make more sense to actually just wholesomely
let them into the Six Nations? No, it's not going to happen. Well, you know, stranger things have happened. They've just dropped two South African teams into the Pro 12, so we'll see. But no, I don't think that. I think what the South African, the people running the rugby union down there are on record of saying, we're going to be very interested to see. Now, in theory, we've done it. So now, if it's workable, they're open to the idea of it all, of them coming up.
I wonder what that means. Like, does that
competitive.
Mean... Right. Because that's very dependent on the points that you made about them actually sending proper teams. And
there's money there. There's money on the table. This is why it was out. They flipped it within a couple of weeks. This is why you don't hear. You heard a little bit of complaining about it. And like, there's loads. We're going to spend the rest of the season picking through the problems with it. But there's money on the table for all the teams. So everyone went, oh, okay. Yeah. We'll get involved.
And that's fine. Like, that's,
Martin Ayani, his first job, his number one thing was to make them a competitive entity with English rugby, English club rugby, and French club rugby when he came into the job 2 years ago. Yeah.
the North American franchise thing, which I think can still happen with an East Coast team in a year or two, would have given them the international identity, and then there's obviously the US market. They're a mess over there at the moment. They can't get their club scenes together. They can't
in
get
the US.
Their, yeah, they can't get their under international level thing. They're the same as most people. They've got the sevens problems. They've a load of problems to fix. So the South African thing is him achieving his first job as what he set out to do.
So a couple of things on that. So in terms of the competitiveness with the English and French leagues, again, like what does that mean? Does that mean like winning European Cups, or is that the financial end of it? Or
financially, and they're still financially, they're light years away, but this is suddenly something that goes, they just have to think out of the box, because they were going to be forever swallowed whole by, there's always like, I'm going to go, and it's still happening. You go to France, if you're a Scottish player, you're going to end up going to England if you're a top elite Scottish player, simply because you're not going to get dropped by Scotland. Mm. Your leg go down, so you take the big money if you're a world class player. Welsh lads, same thing. Ireland have a little, have it all ring fenced, and we've a nice little thing going, so it's really beneficial for Ireland to make the Pro 14 workable and really competitive. There's never going to be as much money on the table, but there's more money now. There's never going to be as much money as England and French leagues, but there's more money.
And the US thing is obviously still very much a viable thing. Like, does that not become an awful mess?
Well, it's East Coast, so it'd have to be East Coast. Yeah. Like, and they know
it's
that.
Still monster trips, monster journeys. Like, even in terms of fans having access to go to games.
Yeah, I was over in New Jersey at the Ireland game this year to test. I'm sure there was conversations about it behind the scenes during that period of time. It worked. Yeah. Little weekend, you fly into New Jersey, you got Manhattan.
Well, you're not complaining.
No, I don't think anyone was. I think it worked for the players, loved it. The media, we got to spend your little boat trip, $7 for 7 minutes, and you're in Manhattan and you're back and forth. And then the actual game itself was deeper into New Jersey. Yeah. It worked. It's not a break your heart to get over to the East Coast of America. All these things are on the table, and they're all possible once the North Americans get their act together.
Let's talk about some of these games. So big wins for all the provinces over the weekend, barring Connacht, who lost at home to Glasgow. Not a greatly changed Connacht team from what I could see. Jared Butler in from the Highlanders and started. Some academy players in the squad. Like, I mean, is there anything from Kieran Keane's point of view to learn this early?
No.
Or anything we learned from it?
No, they have a lot of work to do. It was one of those nights. I was in the Midlands watching it on the telly. It was one of those nights in the west of Ireland where it was just disastrous weather.
Normally a perfect kind of night.
No, Glasgow are too far developed. They got Rennie in as their new coach instead of Townsend now. They've lost a couple of players, but they've built their squad up. They're going to be contenders for the Pro 14. I'd be very surprised if they weren't. No, they got the job done there. Connacht have a lot to do. Kieran Keane, if he gets his feet under the table in the next couple of months, we expect the same skill levels we saw under Pat Lamb, because that's what he coached from the Chiefs. You know, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Squad depth is going to be a massive problem as ever. Bundy Aki probably be lost to the international scene. What with Ringrose and Henshaw not fit, looks like Bundy Aki will be playing centre for Ireland in November. That's a big gap of period of time when you want your marquee foreign signing, who's no longer foreign, he's Irish now. So they'll lose him. We'll see how it goes with Connacht. I don't think it's not going to be as tough as last season. So I think they'll make some kind of improvement. The other teams, Leinster looked like. They lost Fergus McFadden and Geordie Murphy.
39-16 win over the Dragons.
The day of the game, they lost these two, or the day before the game, didn't blink.
And precautions is what we're told, I think.
They're throwing out debuts, like James Ryan coming in. There was a bunch of Porter, Ed Byrne, their next wave of guys. Now, Max Deegan was at number 8. That's like Jack Conan, like, was back on the bench, you know what I mean? So they're 3 deep in almost every position. Like in Loosehead, they're 4 or 5 deep now. They've got Porter gone over to Tidehead. Probably not scrum half, but in most other positions they're 3 deep with international quality. So it's looking pretty, like there's a good season ahead there.
Like out half being one of them, I'm interested to get your thoughts on that. So Ross Byrne starts, and Joey Carberry is still out injured. Sexton, I think, is carrying a couple of knocks as well. Mm. The question, like, I wonder, because if Ross Byrne starts and plays well and does seem to be, from what we hear, he's a pretty gifted player. Obviously played a good bit last season. So if the three of those are fit, is it Sexton, Byrne and Carberry who might be maybe more of a 15?
It's going to be fluid all season, but I think Carberry will have to play at half this season if he gets a run.
You think, right?
Simply because he's so exciting on the ball and what he can do. And also fullback mightn't be an option for him, because like if James Lowe is eventually going to arrive when he's finished with his New Zealand club commitments. Mm. Jordan Larmour he's went in, scored a try in his debut, left winger. This kid was the best under-20s player. St Andrews, there was two St Andrews from Budapest in there in South Dublin, with Porter as well. They're both on the pitch on the weekend. No, he's brilliant. He's been the best Irish under-20s player last season. He's been coming for a while. I think he might have been on the Ireland tour in the summer only. I think he might have been injured. But either way, I think he's going to break through. He looks really good in both directions, physically, everything like that. He's just another one coming through in the Leinster system. So there's not too many, there won't be too many spaces at fullback. They'll have plenty of options there.
I want to get your thoughts briefly on Munster before we wrap. They begin with 34-3 win over Treviso. Nobody's that worried about it. I am sort of striking thing is that the season's begun. Razzie's still there and Jack Nienbaar's still there, and that's going to have to change at some point. There doesn't seem to have been any, I mean, certainly publicly overt movement in that direction. What's going to happen?
Razzie Erasmus and Munster together will have to find themselves a top quality coach to at least get them to the end. Now, there is a possibility, and it has been floated, it was in the Limerick Leader, that Felix Jones will take over from January 1 and get them to the summer. And by then they'll have recruited a top level coach.
Right.
Felix Jones is like, Joe Schmidt took him on in the summer as an assistant to learn his trade. Yeah. He's 30 though. He should be still playing rugby. Yeah. He's only because of a bad neck injury. He's
huge, huge leadership skills apparently and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of his career trajectory, probably
yeah,
a bit
Munster
too early.
Have kind of watered that one down a bit. There's a couple of coaches out there in the world, but nothing's solid. Well, like, why would Ireland lose Andy Farrell? Like, he's come back. He came back with the best reputation of all the coaches from the Lions tour. Why would Schmidt let go of that? Like, they've got their smack into a World Cup cycle now. Yeah. You know, yes, definitely, it would be a good idea for them. And I think he looks like he's ready to go and be a top level head coach now. But he's done all he's come all his way up. But for Munster, it's a good thing. But for Ireland, it wouldn't be.
Gav, we'll have lots more to discuss over the coming weeks. Pleasure to have you back. Thanks a million for coming in. Gavin Comiskey there of the Irish Times. England have gone 2-1 up. We're going to give you details on that after these.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.